How many know the presence of the Lord is in this place? Come on. I said the presence of the Lord is in this place. You ask me, do I feel it? Well, I do, but I don't have to feel it because I know it. How do I know it? Because He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Come on. So if I'm here, He's here. He said His Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me. So if I'm here, He's here. Come on. So I don't have to feel. In fact, my feelings can lead me away from the faith of knowing who He is and what He's done. Are you with me? Come on. He's so good. He's so good. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 26. This week is traditionally in the church what the church calls Holy Week. And when we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, Sunday is Resurrection Day. Come on, Resurrection Day. But we really celebrate that every day, right? Because if He's raised from the dead, I'm raised from the dead. I said, if He's raised from the dead, I'm raised from the dead. So, but looking at some of the examples that we find in the Word of God about, you know, His coming into the place of His death, burial, and resurrection, I want to talk to you tonight specifically about prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer? Talking to God, absolutely. That's it is core base. That's what it is. Now, yeah, come on. And there are many different kinds of prayer that are outlined in the Bible. And sometimes we get it all mixed up because we try to use one set of rules for prayer to another type of prayer and they don't work. For instance, I can pray the prayer of faith for myself. And sometimes, if the faith of God is on me, I can pray for you in faith. But I can't pray the prayer of faith for you. Right? You have to pray that for yourself. But the prayer of faith, it doesn't operate in the same rules, for instance, that intercessory prayer operates in. But here's the wonderful thing of it all. The Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, will teach us to pray. Right? One of the most amazing things, and think about this for just a minute. Try to get out of the mindset that you normally have, and think about Jesus' disciples coming to Him and saying, "Lord, man, teach us to pray." You know, and then we get the Our Father, you know, out of that, but teach us to pray. He said, "Well, don't pray like the hypocrites, and don't pray like those that just are repeating words to hear themselves talk." But from your heart, pray this way. And He gives us a pattern to pray. But have you ever thought about, there must have been something extraordinary about the way Jesus prayed. Or why else would His disciples, you pray and you get results. I pray and maybe not so much. So teach me how to pray like you pray, because I want to get the same results that you get. Amen. Glory to God. Teach me to pray. Teach me how to pray. Teach me what to pray for. But if you look in Matthew 26, and we're going to look at several different versions of this, but go to verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. And again, we're talking about the Holy Week, and but this is after the Lord's Supper and you know, He does all that. But look at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with Me." And then He went a little further, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Then He came to His disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, couldn't you watch with Me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, a second time, he went away and prayed and saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that I want to pull out of here and apply to us. Glory to God. Come on. And one of the things is Jesus knew the season that he was headed into. Jesus knew the season that he was headed into. And the season that he was headed into was going to be hard. I'm just posing a question to you. I think that if we'll begin to evaluate our relationship with the Lord and have faith for a relationship with the Lord like Jesus had, he can pre-warn us about seasons that we're going to go into. Right? Oftentimes, we're praying from the season that we're in the middle of. Right? Help me, God. I didn't see this coming. Help me, God. But God wants to show you. In fact, in John, he says that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to show you things to come. So what I'm saying tonight is that in our prayer life, if we'll begin to really think about what prayer is and who we're talking to, we can come to the place where we have an expectation for God to show us what's going to happen in the future. Are you with me? Come on. God can show us what's going to happen in the future. That's so cool. But watch this. Sometimes we absolutely have an expectation that if God is really speaking to me, if God is really wanting to show me something, then he'll always lead me into good things. Right? And when things don't go our way, then we go, "I must have missed God." Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus miss God by going to the cross? No, he didn't. But his prayers found here in Matthew 26, and we're going to look at them in different places, but his prayers were, "Lord, if it's possible, this is going to be hard. I know this is going to be rough. This is going to be exceedingly hard. God, if it's possible, if there's another way around this, God, but nevertheless, I want your will over my flesh." Right? So what am I saying? Tonight, I think if we'll start to develop a relationship in prayer with God that has an expectation that he'll lead us not only for today, but he'll lead us into our future, then he'll allow us to see some things that we can pray about before they happen. And we can know in advance, this might be a rough season. This might be a tough season. But God is going to lead me in such a way that I'll come through it with his will being done. And I'll just do this from a practical standpoint. How many would love to know what the stock market is going to do before it does it? Right? I have a pastor friend who prays in the Spirit all the time. Back in 2008, the Lord showed him beforehand what was going to happen with the housing market and with all the loans and all that stuff. And so he prepared his church for that. And while everybody else was losing their properties, his church, they didn't lose anything. In fact, they gained because they knew in advance what was going to happen out of a relationship of communication with the Father. So again, prayer, is prayer a religious duty? I guess it could be. Is prayer supposed to be holy? Absolutely. Are we supposed to show respect and honor to God when we're praying? Should we worship Him? Absolutely. But at the same time, listen, He said He went to the Father. He prayed to the Father. He was going to have to go through something, but He went into the garden. He said, man, I know something rough's coming. I need to pray. I need to pray. Now watch this. Oftentimes, we face something that's going to be tough, and we know it's going to be tough. And rather than pray, we whine. And if it's not enough to whine to ourselves, then we find somebody else to whine with us. Right? But God says, listen, you're not one that has to go into something without knowing that I'm with you in the midst of it. Right? So where is our, I like this too, where is our Gethsemane? Again, let's go back up to verse 36. It says, and He came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And you see, what was something about this is this was not out of the ordinary for Jesus to do. And another version says that Gethsemane was His private prayer place. In other words, when He was doing miracles in Jerusalem, when he was passing through and He was going here and there, He came to the place where Gethsemane is where I go meet with God. The first thing we have to, first of all, know that God wants to communicate with us. But in order for us to be at the place where He'll tell us about things to come, we have to have a place where we meet with Him regularly. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out to a garden or anything like that, but is there a place on a regular basis that you go to meet with God? Now, watch this. And if there's something in your spirit that's heavier, that's not right, or maybe something that's not going on inside of you, are you doubling up on that time? In other words, God, I don't quite understand, but I'm feeling something and I don't fully know. So I need to get alone with You more so that I can have more clarity. Right? And then if God says, listen, you're going to have to go through something. Or there's going to be a downturn. Or there's going to be something happen in the church. Or some people, you know, whatever it is, you can say, well, God, I don't really want to go through that. But not my will, Your will be done. Right? It's His will that we need to be involved with. Right? Is everybody right? I just think that's incredible. Now watch this. First thing is He needed to be alone with the Father. But the second thing, He wanted His friends to be on watch with Him. In other words, I'm going into my secret place, but you stay here and watch also. Watch. He said, watch. What for? I think I need some prayer support. I need some covering. I need you to stand and pray and add your faith to my faith. Intercede with me about this thing. But it's something that I need to go through with God. It's a personal thing, but I need some people that can help me. Right? Come on, yeah, locking shield. That's good, Zach. Locking shields. In other words, but we don't need just anybody. Don't ask just anybody to pray for you. Why? Because, first of all, you've probably never done this. I will confess to you that I have. People come up to me all the time, Pastor, pray for me. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then something else gets in my head. Days go by, and I'm reminded, oh, I didn't pray for them. Right? So first of all, you need the people qualified that are close to you. And I think it's very interesting that all 11 were there, and they were all there, but He asked three of them to go a little further. So it's one thing like to have the church pray for you. Come on, church, pray for me. Let's pray for such and such. This is happening. But if I really know some people that really have my back, but also have the Lord's ear, come on, I want them to pray for me. I want them to pray for me. Now watch this. We need to believe that our prayers are effective. That something's happening, something's changing, something's working. And when it doesn't seem to go like we think it should go, we should say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand everything, but I'm stepping right smack dab in the middle of your will, and I'm going to go on for you no matter what happens. We've come through a season where the election happened, and there was prophecies, and there were all kinds of things, and then we came to where we are right now. And it's like, wait a minute. Lord, what happened? And a lot of people have said, well, I'm out of here. God didn't come through. It didn't happen the way I thought it should happen. This and this and this. And so therefore, I'm just abandoning everything. There are people in that position tonight. But here's what I'm telling you, that we need to be in the position of God. I may not have got the full signal correctly, but I still know that you talk to me. I still know that you're my God. I still know that I don't understand everything, God, but you know the beginning from the end, and I'm trusting you. And Lord, your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And God, your hand is not cut short. Your arm is not short. But I have to come to the place where I am willing to go to the place of prayer, even when prayer hurts. Woo! Even when prayer hurts. Go with me to Luke 22. I might skip Mark, but Luke 22. Now it's interesting because Luke was not one of Jesus' disciples. He wasn't there the whole time with Jesus. But he wrote this based on what others told him and what he knew of Jesus. He wrote this gospel. But in Luke 22, and we'll start out in verse 39. And coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Well, why didn't he just say, okay, I'm with you guys. Temptation won't be a problem for you ever. Why? Because I can't protect you from your flesh. Right? I can't protect you from your flesh. And when your flesh is tempted with something, the person that needs to do something about it is you. But sometimes, when we're in the midst of temptation, it's too late to pray about it. But the Holy Spirit, and that's why speaking in tongues is so valuable. When you're praying in the Spirit, you may not understand everything that you're praying about, but the Holy Spirit knows what you're going through, what you're coming to, and what you're going for. Right? And He'll pray through you concerning those things. But sometimes He wants you to pray through a temptation before it comes to you. Come on. You know, if you know it's a setup, you're not going to fall for it. If somebody's trying to scam you in the natural, but you heard of the scam before, and you go, oh, I know what you're doing. I'm not falling for that. I know that you're not going to give me $3 million. Because, you know, whatever. I know this isn't the IRS calling and needs, you know, that money. I know that, right? Because you're aware of it. You got inside information before it happened so that wasn't even a pitfall for you. God wants to do that for you. So you need to pray because I don't want you to fall into this temptation. So prayer can keep us out of falling for temptation.
Thank you. I think that's very good. Hallelujah. Verse 41, it said, and when he was withdrawn from them a stone's throw, he knelt and prayed. Well, what's a stone throw? How far can you throw a rock? Not that far. You know, some people a little further than others, but it's not that far. Saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, there's a place in prayer of consecration and dedication. What's that? Well, consecration is, Lord, I'm yours to command. But dedication is, whatever you say, I'll do. Right? I'm consecrated to you. In other words, my life is hid with you. And you all know the famous, I quote it all the time, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, I'm not my own anymore because I'm His. And so I'm consecrating myself to His will. And that's what Jesus was doing here. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many needs a little more consecration? Come on, God. I just need more. I'll just say this too. You know that God wants to give you adventures? God wants you to have an adventure tomorrow. He wants to lead you to people that you can just have an adventure with. Right? Come on. But we have to come to the place where we're coming to our place of Gethsemane so we can get the orders for today. And then we have to consecrate ourselves to His will. How about this? Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to. And then He speaks to your heart. You go, not so much. Maybe you've not been there, but I've been there. I don't want to give you those testimonies, right? But I'm going to give you one. See, we have to be consecrated to the will of God. Years ago, I was working in the shipyard, so I was at Bremerton. There was a 7-Eleven, and it was after work. I went to get something to drink or something, a soda or something, and I was in there, and there was this lady that came in, a young lady, and she had a baby in a stroller, and she was coming to the store. And she's walking through the aisles, and I'm walking there. And this is what I heard down here. She's going to steal something for her baby. And I thought, oh, Lord, who's that? Who's that speaking? And what the Lord wanted me to do was pay for anything that she needed. But I didn't. I missed it. I had the opportunity. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But I did not finish my prayer because I didn't follow through with what... See, you hear what I'm saying? Now, what do you do with that? Well, I guess God's done with me. No. I pick up where I left off and I say, Lord, with your help, I won't do that again. You know, and several times He's had me in positions where He said to do this and do that, and you just do it. You're just out of obedience. You see, look, if God is wanting to equip you and show you something about your future, He wants you to act on what He shows you. You know what that's called? Obedience. Obedience. I've often said, here's my definition of a successful Christian. Hear and obey. That's it. Hear and obey. Just think if you did that all the time. You heard consistently, and you did whatever He said. You know what you'd hear when you got to heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Come on. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Glory to God. All right. Verse 40 again. And we came to the place, He prayed that they may not enter temptation. And when He was drawn from them, a stone's throw, He knelt down and prayed. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly. Then sweat became like drops of blood falling down from the ground to the ground. Look at this. Here's now I don't necessarily look forward to those types of prayer, but God wants us to be available for that type of praying. But here's the good news. If you're praying with intercession like that, he'll send angels to strengthen you. In fact, I want to tell you that in these last days, there's going to be more angelic visitations. Did you know that you all brought an angel in with you? I mean, I'm not telling you that I see them. One day, Lord, I just want to see them all. But I know that there's angels in this room. Because they're ministering spirits sent forth to accomplish the very word that's preached. So the word that I'm preaching indicates that there's angels who are going to back up what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is this, that don't be afraid of getting into the place where God's going to use you in prayer, but the prayer is not comfortable. And we're talking about intercessory prayer. We're talking about praying and doing something that has significance for others. In Romans chapter 8, it said that the Holy Spirit likewise helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but he gives us intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings that could not be uttered. What does a groaning sound like? Right? And I think sometimes if you'll learn to pray in the Holy Spirit, and especially if God puts a specific assignment on you for somebody else, there may be a birthing that needs to happen in that other person. You know that not everybody's heart is ready to hear what God has to say. And I wish that was just people outside of the church. But frankly, it's us too. But the more we develop our Gethsemane place, the more our hearts will be open to hear what he has to say. But if I'm going to pray for somebody else, I want to find somebody to pray for me who will groan or go to the place of sorrow in prayer, if that's what it's called for, to help me through. Is this making sense to anybody tonight? See, I'm talking about prayer. You're here on Wednesday night, so that means that you're deeper into things than just those Sunday people. I'm just kidding. All my Sunday people are waiting at home. I love you too. But watch this. Watch. No, we need to be at the place in prayer where we say, God, use me. I'm available. Now, how do those assignments come up? They come up like this. You're praying and God puts somebody's name on your mind. Or I've had this happen to me before. I'm praying and I'm closed my eyes because I want to, you know, just get quiet before God. And somebody's face will come up. What do? I just start praying for them. Even when I don't know what they need, I start praying for them. And sometimes it's just very simple. But other times, if I'll yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll take me to a place of groaning. I'll give you an example of years ago. I think I've used this example before, but it bears repeating. A friend of mine's dad was going in and had an aneurysm in the back of his head, and this was when brain surgery wasn't done that often, and they were going to have to, and it was really risky, and you know, and so I started praying for him, and I prayed for him what I knew to pray in English. That lasted about 90 seconds, right? You know, bless the doctors, pray that he's all right, you know, rebuke Satan, whatever, right? But then I said, Holy Spirit, help me to pray.
help me to pray. And I began 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 to pray. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes praying in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden in that, I got the biggest pain, headache that you've ever experienced in your life. And it was right back here. And man, it was just, I was in agony. I was groaning in agony. And then all of a sudden it broke. And I knew that I had the answer to my prayer. Why? Because I was willing to go to the place for somebody else where God could use me and bring me to the place of anguish in the prayer. So the next day I talked to my friend whose dad this was, and I said, I can tell you where that aneurysm was. And he came through surgery fine. It was beautiful. Everything was great. I said, I'll tell you exactly where it was. So it was right here. He said, how'd you know that? But sometimes we want the gifts of the Spirit to operate in us without spending time in prayer and praying in the Spirit when we don't feel anything. I wasn't going to go there, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or 14, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Verse 2 says this, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him, but in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What does that mean? Secret things. The Holy Spirit will pray through you secret things. And at times he'll give you interpretation of what you're praying. He'll show you. Right? Come on, he does. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. When you use your prayer language in prayer and you pray, you're edifying yourself. What does that mean? It means you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. You're charging yourself up. Yes, Zach. Yeah, exactly. It's like a battery. It's like a battery. You're charging that battery. Well, I charge my battery all the way here in my truck. So when I go out to need to put the juice to the starter to make it'll start. So oftentimes when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're praying in that prayer closet in our Gethsemane place. We're praying for something that's coming in the future. I'm talking about prayer, but I'm talking about something that's deep in prayer. Something where we can go some places, some place where God can use us to affect the future. But you have to have people that are willing to do it. You have to have people that are willing to go there. Right? Anybody in here willing? Come on. Again, we have to be at the place where we're going, Lord, I want your will for my life no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. Now, I've missed it before in this area where God put on my heart to pray for somebody. Now, I'm not saying I heard a voice. I'm not saying I had an angelic visitation. But just a thought came to me, you need to pray. And I've not done it. Well, you know, God doesn't condemn me for that, but just if I'd start paying more attention to that, how many lives could I affect without ever leaving Gethsemane? Right? How many people could we keep from falling if we'll start praying in the Spirit for each other? Right? I don't have to know your business. He knows it. But if you come across my mind, I don't say, well, Lord, what do you want me to pray for her for? I can just say, Lord, you know Linda. you know what she needs. I just pray that you bless her, you touch her, you minister to her. I rebuke the enemy over her. But right now, in Jesus' name, and I keep praying until I get a release from that. Then I'll leave that with the Lord. But you see, Jesus in Gethsemane was praying for himself, and he was praying for what he was going through, but he was also praying for his disciples because he didn't want to lose any of them. Is this making sense to anybody? Right? We need to come to that place. Now, go with me for time's sake. Go to Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts in the fourth chapter. Here's what I think. I'm not saying thus saith the Holy One, but I believe that the Spirit of God wants to shake this place. When I say this place, I'm not talking just about this building, although I don't limit him to this, you know. Come on, you want to shake this building? I'm ready, right? But I think he wants to shake this state. I think he wants to shake Port Orchard. I think he wants to shake the United States. Come on, I think he wants to shake up the Middle Earth. Come on, right? Right? He needs his army to get ready. Who's his army? You're drafted. Right? When you said, Jesus is my Lord, then you're drafted. So, in the book of Acts, the apostles, they came to the place where they were preaching the gospel, and they were just telling people how they could get saved. People didn't like that. In fact, they didn't like it so much, they beat them, threatened them, and said, don't ever preach in his name again. Don't do it. And so, verse 23. And having been let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. They prayed. When they heard, this is what the world is saying, this is what your government, this is what your religious leaders are telling you, their first response was, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Did you hear what they said? They could come beat us. They could come throw us in prison. They could kill us. They could take us from our homes and do that. They prayed. So what I'm saying is that oftentimes, and we're human, right? And we have our flesh that's pulling at us all the time. But we need to get out of the habit of going to our flesh first and going to God first. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Well, I feel, well, they hurt me. Well, you... Well, just, you know, how's that working for you? How's that been working for you? If we're going to come to a place of maturity where our prayer is going to change things, we must come to the place where when we're faced with things in life, we turn to God first. First. Not as a secondary thought. Not as, well, I guess we could pray. Has it come to that? When they heard they raised their voice to God, and with one accord they said, Lord, you are God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all of them that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, some of us could be discouraged by what we're seeing in the United States and all of the, it seems like everything's been shifted around and now the church is the bad guys.
We're the ones who hate now. Because we declare the word of the Lord, right? So what are we going to do about it? Oh, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Are we going to bow our knees to the idols of humanistic values? Or are we going to say, God, behold their threatenings. Behold their Lord, look at, I might be disowned by my whole family because I'm preaching the word of God. People might run away from me. People might hate me. They might even put me in jail. Behold their threatenings, Lord. But Lord, I want to tell you that you're God. You're God. I'm serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who was and who is and is going to come. That's the God that I'm serving. You are God. Lord, first thing I want to declare to you with their threatenings is that you're God. And we're coming to you first. And we want to do your will, even if it costs us our life. Verse 27 says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and purpose is determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Speak your word. Now I'm going to stop there. I got to, for just a second, for kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it fits right in line. When we read this, because of where we are today, we think, well, that means that I get my Bible and I speak His word. Did you know that the people that were praying this didn't have a Bible? They didn't. They had scrolls that they went to the synagogue and read from. But so the word that he's talking about here is this. Is that I'm hearing from you. It's in line with your word. But I've got a right now rhema word that I can speak to others. How do you get a right now rhema word? Gethsemane. Your place at Gethsemane. Your place at Gethsemane, Lord. And then you have faith that God will speak to you and through you. So if God puts somebody on your heart, let's just say you're at a gas station, there's somebody pumping gas right next to you, and the Lord says, go tell them I love them. You go, but what am I going to say? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And what's it going to hurt you to just go say, you know, I just feel compelled to tell you that God loves you. And then God may put something else after you're obedient with the first words that you give. Say, can I pray for you? In fact, I've just got to tell you, I saw your face this morning when I was talking to my father. And this is what he said to me. So give us boldness that we might speak the word that God is giving to us. For that situation, for those threats, for whatever's happening in our lives, God, give me the words that I can with all boldness speak what you're speaking to me. I want boldness. I got saved because God spoke to me. And I'm not saying I've never heard an audible voice. I've never heard anything from the outside, but on the inside, that still small voice. And what is that? It's a thought comes from down here and comes up to my mind and it's filtered through my mind, but I know it's God. Right? Okay. Verse 29 again. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, everybody say that. And when they prayed, not before they prayed, you know, not looking forward to a prayer meeting in the future. It didn't happen until they prayed, right? And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. It's time for us to find our Gethsemane and then find a few that will come with us and begin to pray with a prayer of expectation that God wants to shake this place. I'm talking about earthquake potential praying, because we need it for the awakening that God wants to have happen. And watch this. When you pray this kind of prayer and God gives you a rhema word, people get healed. People get delivered. Supernatural provision can come. If we had time, we could go read it in the Word. But God wants us to be so blessed out of our relationship with Him that we have such an overflow that we can bless others. Let me read that one more time, and then we'll close. And when they prayed, verse 31, and the place where they were assembled was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, many of these have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, but there's a place of being filled again. And filled again. Ephesians 5:28 says, and be being filled. And the word be being filled means this, a continual action that happens over and over and over and over and over again. How does that happen? Gethsemane. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in your prayer closet. And after they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What's that saying? That's saying this. As you spend time in the Word, as you spend time in your prayer closet with God, as you pray, spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will fill you and He'll give you words to speak that will change lives, that will change destinies, that will change Port Orchard, that will change Washington State, that will change the Pacific Northwest, that will change the United States, that will change the world. Come on. I want one more. And I'll just story. Years ago, I was in a meeting, and a man was preaching, really full of the Holy Ghost, and he was a visitor in the church that I was at, and the service was going on, the Holy Ghost was moving, and I had a word for him. I felt like God told me to say something. Well, I don't know about you, but when God asks me to give a word for somebody, I usually don't get the whole thing. What I get is a couple of words. And then as I speak those, God gives me a few more and a few more and a few more and a few more until a picture is painted. So I went up to him and I said, and with all humility, and I still to this day do this. I say, now, I feel like the Lord's telling me to tell you something. But if it doesn't bear witness with you, just throw it out. Just throw it out. It's all right. But here's what I feel like the Lord is saying to me. And I gave him some prophetic things about his life and about what God was going to do with him. And he said, you're the third person that's told me that. One was Dad Hagen. The other was Oral Roberts. And you're the third person. Why? It's the same Holy Spirit. Do you want the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life? Pray until the place shakes. Come on, did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for everybody that's watching. I thank you, Lord, you've just so blessed it. But God, with our live stream, Lord, we thank you for providing for us so that we can make that even better. Lord, we ask you, God, just to use us. We're available, Lord. We're available tonight. I'm making myself available. If I've let you down in this area in times past, which I have, I ask you to forgive me. But I can't do anything about that, Lord. But tonight, I'm declaring to you that my Gethsemane will be a place where you can use me to pray. And Lord, I ask you to give me words for other people so that they can be blessed. I ask you, God, to use us to pray and shake this place, God. And no matter what people threaten us with, no matter what the cost is, Lord, we say as Jesus did, not our will, but your will be done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight, if you're watching tonight, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all you have to do is just lift your hands to him and say, Lord, I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus is Lord and that God's raised him from the dead. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be with him. So do that now. Let somebody know. Call us. We love you. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God.